Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Rabbi David Levenkruz discusses Parshat Beshalach. Rabbi David Levenkruz is a senior faculty member of Pardes and serves as our director of special programs for the school. And now, Rabbi David Levenkruz.
Thank you, Larry.
Brich Rachman Malka de Alma Marida Hai Pita.
This rather badly sung song is one beloved by many Jews whom we would refer to as New Age people. It's actually the shortest Birkat Hamazon, which the Gemara mentions. And what many, many people do is rather than do the regular Birkat Hamazon, which is long and wordy, we'll sing this song over and over and over again. This is very, very different from the traditional liturgical tradition, where the emphasis is very often on expansion, on something being long. And in fact, the rabbis discourage us from repeating lines in the davening, although I think many chazanim have not heard about this. And in fact, what we have over here are two very different modes of worship of God or of coming to truth. One which emphasizes long, intricate, working things out, understanding, intellectualism, and another which is far more emotive, simple, and clear. Two very, very different ways of approaching God. And in fact, we see this dichotomy in this week's Parsha Beshalach, where first we have the song of Moshe after crossing the Red Sea, Az Yashir Moshe, which is long, and we then have Miriam's song, which is much, much shorter. Vatikach Miriam HaNeviyah, Achot Aharon. This is Shmot 15, verses 20-21. Vatikach Miriam HaNeviyah, Achot Aharon. Miriam, the prophet, the sister of Aaron, took et hatof beyada, took the drum in her hand, v'tetzen kol anashim acharea. And all the women went with her, v'tetzena kol anashim acharea, all the women went with her, v'tupim b'mecholot, with drums and with dancing, v'ta'an lahen Miriam, and Miriam chanted for them, shiru l'adonai, ki ga'o ga'as, sus v'rochvo, rama b'yang, sing to God for his great victory, horse and rider he cast in the sea. She took one line from Moshe's song, and at least in my imagining, she sings it over and over and over again. So we have over here two very, very different models. Moshe's long, intricate, poetic song, and Moshe and Miriam's much shorter, far more emotive song. What we're going to do today, we're going to actually do a lot together today. What we're going to do today is, first of all, go through the source sheet, which some of you may be looking at or studying, and try to understand what different commentators, medieval and modern, have done with this piece. And we're then going to present a few different models, a few different ways that people have understood the difference between these songs. And I'm then going to present a theory of my own based, I will say, on what my class yesterday in Parshat HaShavua said in their lesson, as well as the time I gave this previously also at Pardes. So in some very sweet way, and perhaps this even fits into Az Yashir, into Miriam's song, which included the Am Yisrael, today we're going to have the pleasure of including the words of my students, of Pardes students, into what we are saying. As I said, a lot of work to do, so let's get straight to it. Let's go through the source sheet, then look at the different theories. Robert Alter, the modern Bible commentator, says that the women sing the opening lines of the song we have just heard as a kind of antiphonal responsive refrain. So his idea is rather similar. His idea is it wasn't Miriam leading, more a case of her singing and the women answering, almost like a call and response or responsive readings. Rashi says that Moses chanted a song for the men, he would chant for them and they would answer him, and Miriam chanted a song for the women. I think what Rashi is doing is he's making the two far more similar to each other. It sounds as if there's an equivalency. And it's interesting that the Chizkuni on this takes it a little even further and says that, in fact, the entire song was chanted by Miriam. Alter, again, speaks about the custom of women going out in song and dance to celebrate a military victory was common in ancient Israel and the surrounding peoples and figures significantly in the David story. Here I think what Alter is trying to do is he's trying to put it into the historical context. What is interesting is that in this story, God is the returning hero. And I think there's something very, very powerful about this idea of God being the returning hero. Going back to Rashi, he says, so confident were the pious women of Israel in that generations of the miracles that God was about to work for Israel, that they brought drums with them out of Egypt. A very, very powerful idea of the faith that women had. And again, going more with the idea that there was something particularly female, introducing this idea that there was something female about Miriam and the women dancing. There was something particularly male about Moshe and the men. The Jewish Studies Bible does not go in this direction. There they write, the women dance and play music led by Miriam, who summons them, or all the Israelite, to sing God's praises. So over here, we have the very interesting notion, and certainly sounds counterintuitive to what we might expect, that Miriam actually led a song for all the Jews, for all Am Yisrael, not just for the women. And in fact, the Mechilta also says that the men and the women sang together. So this is very, very different. We have two different leaders, a man and a woman, but in both cases, the entire Am is involved. Alter looks at another idea and asks why she's called a prophetess, and says one surmises that she's called prophetess because the singing and dancing are an ecstatic activity, and one of the established meanings of the Hebrew term for prophet is an ecstatic who typically employed dance and musical instruments to induce the prophetic frenzy. And here I think, too, it could be a man or a woman, but I think there might at least be a hint that this is somehow at least something appropriate for a woman, that women in ancient times may have been ecstatics. And the idea of men and women being different and this being two different ways of serving God come out very, very clearly in the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who wrote, the men sang their joy over their deliverance, sang their yearning for a more perfect redemption, but something was lacking. And for those of you who are going to study the source sheet and learn it in Chavruta, perhaps with somebody, I've given some questions. What was lacking? Give your answer based on the opinions above as to the nature of Miriam's song, as well as based on a comparison of Az Yashir and Miriam's song. Use the grid below to guide you in your comparisons. On the left-hand column, we have language, content, how is the song sung, who is involved, other and other, and then it's split into Az Yashir and Miriam's song. I strongly recommend anybody who can do this to do this. It's a lot of fun, and I'd love to hear any ideas that you come up with which are not covered in this shiur. Even if you're not going to do this, I strongly recommend you read Az Yashir in the original, which is Exodus 14:30 to Exodus 15:19. I'm now going to share with you different ideas. As we've just seen from the variety of response over here, there are many, many different ways to read this, and that's why many, many things I say, I might say the thing and it's opposite, because often the same text can be read in a number of ways. I think where the texts that we have in front of us on the source sheet go in three directions. One is they try to understand it in context, in the Middle Eastern context of the time, in the context of where Am Yisrael was. One line of thought is to understand it in context. Another line of thought is to try and make the two songs more equivalent, to make Vatikach Miriam, and Miriam took, similar to Az Yashir, and then they sang. And another one is to really go the gender route and say, this was a women's kind of activity, this is a men's kind of activity, and that is where we're going to start. So what I did yesterday in class, rather than ask students how these are stereotypically male or stereotypically female. I asked them the exact opposite, and I said, how are these not stereotypical? Of course, in the process, we found out what people's stereotypes are, but let me share with you what they said. We have a stereotype that women talk more than men, and here we see Miriam being more taciturn. We have a stereotype that women are less violent than men, and yet Miriam sung, Shiru l'Adonai ki goa goa sus v'roch v'ara mabiyam, sing to God for his great victory, horse and rider he cast into the sea. There is a certain violence about it. We have an idea that women are more passive, and yet here the women are very proactive, not only in their dancing, but also in packing the drums. When they left Egypt, one might expect them to be more worried about household goods, but in fact they packed drums. And in many cultures, a drum itself is regarded as a male instrument. One student pointed out that she plays in an orchestra, and certain instruments are seen as boy instruments, and certain instruments are seen as girl instruments. So too here, drums are often seen as being a male instrument. Women are often seen as speaking in an intricate way, whereas Vatikach Miriam is very, very simple and straightforward. Theories such as Carol Gilligan's, which emphasize the idea that women emphasize relationships, whereas men emphasize hierarchy, are not seen over here. Asya Shir very powerfully speaks about the different relationships between the different people, whereas Vatikach Miriam is very hierarchical. We know Miriam is leading, it's one line, God is great, there's very, very little of that interplay or that texturedness. Finally, Asya Shir has the line, Ashira l'Adonai, I will sing to God, and it could be that each Jew, each member of Am Yisrael was involved in their own way, whereas here in Vatikach Miriam, it's very clear who the leader is. So in many, many ways, we see that these do not fit into our or ancient stereotypes of what women are. It is of very few words. It is somewhat violent. Women are seen as proactive, packing a male instrument. It's straightforward. The emphasis is in hierarchy rather than relationships. And there is a very, very clear leader. Tova Cohen, who teaches at Bar Ilan University and is a feminist writer, speaks about the two poems and their differences and goes more in the gender direction of seeing one as being a male way of dealing with a situation and the other as a female way. This is what she points out. Asya Shir is lofty, whereas Vatikach Miriam is simple and brief. Asya Shir uses rich language and metaphors, whereas Miriam uses one extremely simple sentence. Asya Shir describes in detail the greatness of the Holy One, blessed be He, and the future of the Israelite people, whereas Miriam sums up the miracle that the people have just experienced and nothing more. In Asya Shir, the word itself is a heading or general introduction to the song at the sea, whereas Vatikach Miriam becomes a separate song in Miriam's mouth. She took one key verse from the lofty song, and from it she created a unique religious experience, deliberately far shorter and simpler than that sung by Moshe. In Asya Shir, we have no mention of how the song was sung, whereas in Vatikach Miriam, more than half the text is given to describing how the song was performed. Slightly different from what we said before, Asya Shir is the personal prophetic song of Moshe, whereas in Vatikach Miriam, Miriam took the lead. But there emerged a group of women who took part together in a religious act, chanting to the accompaniment of music and dance. The emphasis here is on how the audience reciprocated. It is difficult to imagine that the slaves just released from their yoke of bondage to Egypt would have been capable of understanding the elevated poetic language of Asya Shir, whereas Vatikach Miriam describes an event that just took place in simple, non-metaphoric language that it could easily be understood by everyone, popular religious observance in which all could participate, and Tova Cohen going on the word Vata'an Lahem, and she chanted to them, and Miriam chanted to them, sees that it is a male verb, it's a verb in the masculine, very much goes with the idea that Miriam included all of Am Yisrael, not just the women. So Tova Cohen, in a very, very powerful way, gives us an image of women's spirituality, of something simple and brief, emphasizing experience, involvement, ecstasy, feelings, inclusiveness, understanding the people where they are. She gives a very, very powerful vision of what happened. She does not go quite as far as the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who states this in gender terms straight out. The men sang their joy over their deliverance, sang their yearning for a more perfect redemption, but something was lacking. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe answers, Miriam and her chorus brought to the song at the sea the intensity of feeling and depth of faith unique to womankind. For the Lubavitcher Rebbe, women, in an essential way, it's something about how women are built, women in an essentialist way have something that is different from men, and this they brought to the honor and the glory of God. My students came up with other ideas to reinforce this, that in Az Yashir we read about punishing enemies, whereas in Vitikach Miriam it is stated as a fact and no gloating. In Az Yashir Moshe is singing, whereas in Vitikach Miriam, Miriam says Shiru, which is imperative, and telling others to sing. In Az Yashir, we're not sure whether it is sang or said. We read that they sang, but we also read the verb Lemor, and they said. Whereas in Vatikach Miriam, it's clearly ecstatic. Az Yashir seems planned. I mean, the language is very, very beautiful, very, very intricate. One wonders whether a slave people, just having exited the sea, would really be in the mood for such a complicated song. Whereas Vatikach is spontaneous, and you have a very powerful idea of people really, really enjoying themselves, the relief. One can only imagine the fear that these people had gone through, crossing through the sea, perhaps the shock when they got to the other side safe, perhaps a little bit of depression, because one often does feel this after one's gone through a very, very traumatic experience. And one can see how beautifully Miriam must have just drawn them together, drawn upon their joy, with the beautiful gift of music and drums and singing, helped them to realize what a wonderful act it was, helped them to really appreciate that this indeed was an act of God's benefits, and to understand that in the deepest point. So far we've seen two things. We've seen how this can be read in a way that does not reinforce stereotypes about women and men. We've read how this can be read reinforcing stereotypes about men and women, but I hope in a positive way, seeing the differences being positive, rather than a reason for exclusion. But I'd like to suggest some harmonizing reasons, two harmonizing reasons. One might say that women need longer time to get to the point. Jews love to talk, and so we talk more and more. That we really needed, the men really needed, the time to get to the point, whereas women have it. They already understood it. There was something instinctual going on. T.S. Eliot once said, if I had more time, I would have written a shorter letter. The women were able to just get there. In other words, both were needed. It wasn't so much an opposition, but that both were needed. And I think this goes for many of the other explanations as well. It's not a question of one versus the other, one being a better or worse way than the other, but both were needed. But I'd like to suggest something else. Not only that both were needed, but that Miriam's song would not have the same effect if it wasn't only if it wasn't after Az Yashir. Az Yashir, we needed the long, maybe drawn out, retelling of the story and vision of the future. The people needed to hear that. Only once they had the intellect, shall understanding, only once they understood and knew what had happened, only once they'd had Talmud Torah, only then were they able to appreciate the ecstasy. I feel this often in Shul on Simchat Torah. If a person has learned throughout the year, I think the taking of the Torah scrolls and the dancing around the Shul in celebration of us beginning to read the Torah anew has much, much more power and much, much more impact than if a person comes to Shul and dances with the Torah, but they're not people who learn Torah regularly. I think in order to get to that ecstasy and to appreciate that ecstasy, you really, really need to have the intellectualism, the sophisticated poetry first. And I think that this is what happened. Brich Rachmana, the song which I sang at the beginning, has far more power if we know the long Birkat HaMazon. We've read the words, we've studied it, we say it regularly. Then when we sing the short one, we are able to bring to it all our knowledge, all our understanding, all our depth, but then and we are able then to fully appreciate what it means to have a song sung over and over again in increasing ecstasy, with increasing participation, increasingly realizing how great God is and how wonderful it is that we have been given the ability to serve God. Shiru l'Adonai, ki ga'o ga'er, sus v'rochva, rama v'yam. Sing to God for his great victory, horse and rider he cast in the sea. Shabbat shalom, and thank you for listening.